Okay, and welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, so you don't have to. And we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Woo!
Cassandra.
Hey.
And just wait, where's Lisa?
We kicked her out last episode.
Oh, we kicked her out.
Yeah. It's in the canon.
Yeah, the universe.
Yes, that's the exact reason why she's not here. Not any other reason.
Why did we kick her out again?
Because she brought Mac and me. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That was the last straw.
That was the last straw. Yeah. Oh my god. No wonder she's gone.
Yeah, it's like the same reason why I left for one episode because of the bad Babylon 5 episode.
Understandable. Yeah.
So are we ever going to forgive Lisa for this?
Or? No.
No. All right.
Maybe around Christmas. Maybe for the around gift of giving. Give them our forgiveness.
Oh, just wait. So next month, you think?
Or the month afterwards. Yes. Depends on when this comes out.
We are here today to watch Doctor Who. Yeah, we're up to the 7th Doctor.
Ooh.
Vester McCoy.
Yeah, the last one from the original run.
Oh. Yeah. We're looking at his episode, Ghostlight.
Yes.
You said his episode very strangely, he wrote it or something.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's season 26, episode 2 in season, or story number 153, Ghostlight.
Yep. And the interesting thing about Ghostlight is actually the last story recorded. So it was shown third last, but it was actually the last one to be produced before Doctor Who lost funding and was axed by the BBC. So this was technically the last story.
How many episodes do we have to watch today?
Well, I was thinking we might look at two,
Three episodes total.
That will give us enough to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also looking forward to the first openly queer companion.
Right.
Because she's ace.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh. Oh, that's not queer. That's just...
Yeah, it is. Asexual sort of community.
It would be appropriate to watch during Halloween. It is,
it's a little bit late for Halloween, just like by a month.
They're a little bit late for that. But, tomorrow is actually the anniversary, Doctor Who anniversary day, the 23rd of November.
So you're setting in canon that today's the episode you're releasing the podcast as well, aren't you?
I will not get it released today.
No.
But I think it's one that you need to watch. It's complicated. I've only watched it once, as I said, that was 10 years ago. When we were watching...
When it was airing on ABC.
No, on the Doctor Who forum.
That was over 10 years ago. It was airing on the ABC. I am old. I need to remember this. I keep on underestimating lengths of time.
It was about 20 years ago that it was airing on the ABC. Yeah. So 10 years ago, in the early days of the Doctor Who forum, we would watch old stories and discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one that was chosen.
You can also get the novel, apparently.
It makes sense. I mean,
does the novel come in three parts?
No. Yeah, the beginning, middle, end. It's like it's the same way you have an omnibus version of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I know they did novelizations of a lot of Doctor Who episodes.
I think all of them.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise they were novelised quite so late. I presume that had ended earlier on.
Yeah, I didn't know they were still novelised. Mm-hmm.
What a novel thought process.
Which, especially considering the TV show lost funding, it's interesting to know that they still...
Yeah.
Thought that the books would sell.
And maybe they had just to set up for it. And the book printing system is different and cheap.
There were cheap copies. They tended to fall apart. I've got a few of the old novelizations. The pages would fall out.
Spineless tactics in order to try and make money for Doctor Who.
There is a book-length study, a critical analysis of this episode that someone has written.
Okay.
Well, when you're really stumped for what to pick for your PhD thesis, so you're just going to sit in there scrolling TV channels, brain dead, and go, this is something.
It's funny that you say that, when in reality it'd be someone like you three nerds going, and for the record, I pointed at Justin, Jeanette and Angus, but mainly at Angus and Jeanette, who would go, I'm going to write about Doctor Who.
It's a cultural phenomenon that has survived for many years. I think it's justified.
Oh, yeah, people have done PhDs on everything. Mm-hmm. People have done PhDs on writing PhDs of it.
Do you know what they haven't done PhDs on?
Me?
Romance, the genre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got the least amount of PhDs and it's not seen as a viable academic genre.
Because it's mainly appealing to women.
Yes. Yep. I like that side of my comments have been listened to, but all my puns, Cass has been secretly laughing. Yeah. Everyone else just ignoring it. Yeah. Cass, you're my favourite person today.
Thank you. Yeah.
Not you.
I haven't noticed them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They've been too secret for even me to observe.
Yeah. This wasn't Ace's first episode, though.
No.
She was introduced towards the tail end of the previous season and was present throughout the entirety of the final season. I don't know whether she was planned to end, like, in the next season that followed, or if she was planning on being around for another full season or two. The writers very much contributed to the kicking of companions and stuff like that, more so than choice by companions.
She definitely had an arc. She really loved being in Doctor Who, and apparently when asked if she would be interested in filming with Gatwick coming back, and she'd give me the contract, I'll sign it now.
Do we know why he walked away from Doctor Who yet?
I think it's because some rumours it was Disney asking around the show itself, and he didn't want to hang around for a year not doing anything else just to keep Doctor Who open.
That's fair. I've heard a lot of that being an issue of late, and I didn't realise that Disney was as scummy as it was, because it means that you can't work in sci-fi industry. Right. So what they do is, in the industry, which has been really, really big of late, it's like people will lock you into a contract that will say that you can't work on sci-fi, fantasy, or whatever other umbrella Doctor Who comes under, which means that you are entirely locked out of those areas of production because you've signed that contract to remain with them. Right. So people are getting locked out of things that they are very well known for and iconic for. So like people that are typecast in things, and it also stops people from going off to do things. So Shooty would be great in so many different genres, but it locks him out of some of the more fun genres as well. So that's really sad, but I'm glad that he left and is hopefully
now the BBC's going a different direction with Doctor Who. It's not remaining with Disney.
Yeah.
They'll bring him back.
It's very possible he may reappear.
It would be really nice.
Yeah, because like, I've been really enjoying it. I try to think of the worst episodes of the past two seasons. I'm having trouble working out when it's actually bad. They've all been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, were a bit wonky.
Yeah, but like, I mean, part of it was we need to establish the show for people who've never seen it before as a cheesy bit to start off with. So,
The finale was absolute garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like hot garbage.
Yeah.
They always are.
Oh, that one just kind of took the cake.
RTD isn't as good at finale stories.
Yeah, I feel like you've said this actually multiple times, Angus, where RTD and Moffat, they build up and it has to be bigger and better than last time.
I don't think Moffat does that quite as severely.
No. I don't know. Sorry, Sherlock, but he killed off Moriarty early on and then tried to do something bigger and better than Moriarty when you could have just left Moriarty alive and continued doing fun things with him.
I definitely think he killed off Moriarty and then tried to go, right, let's do the Rackenback Falls thing, probably because Moriarty was meant to die and everyone's like, yeah, he's definitely dead, and then came back in the original Sherlock. Yeah. So he did the Rackenback Falls thing and then went, right, how do we bring back Moriarty? Realised he couldn't bring back Moriarty. I don't know, I can't remember what the issue was, but the scheduling at that part of the show was awful. Like, a season would release every 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
It just kind of all fell apart after Moriarty died.
But back to Doctor Who. I mean, I feel like they're trying to constantly peak themselves.
Outdo what he did before. And I use this term on the forum, that the small episodes are the best. It's not end of the universe. It's just a small issue or small danger, threat. Mm-hmm. And Midnight is one of the examples people used.
Yeah.
And it's a really gripping, and Gridlock to me is also similar. I love some of my favourite episodes are those ones where the stakes are much smaller, but they're tangible.
In comparison to the Earth's Destroyed, do the time loop thing, whatever even happened.
I feel like you can definitely do really good stories, because I feel like we'll touch on this when we get to Smith's era, but like Pandora's Box, the Pandorica opens. Yeah. That was nominated and did win Best Short Story Award. Absolutely worthwhile. It was a really good open and close story. That's it. Mm-hmm. It was done. And I feel like they're trying to do the short story format for these season finales, but they're just trying to go, oh, well, obviously Pandorica was big and world-ending. Yeah. We need to do another thing that's big and world-ending. Mm. And it's like, but what if we didn't?
Yes. Yeah, RTD's a little bit of his own hype guy when it comes to this sort of stuff. He hypes himself up and goes, oh, it needs to be bigger, better, it will have this, it will have this.
Yeah. Mm.
Where, like, so much is lost, where all you need is an A-plot and then maybe a B-plot for a bit of comedy.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. And those are some of the best stories.
Yeah, yeah. Is
to be fair, they don't really usually even do the A-B plot. That's much more of a Star Trek thing.
During Tennant's era, I can definitely recall A and B plots with the Doctor, Marie Antoinette. Great example of A and B plots. Yes,
the Hobbiton?
Girl in the Fireplace.
No. Yes.
Doesn't matter, they lost their heads at any point anyway.
But she didn't. She died of illness.
But that's a great example of A and B plots. Mm. When you have enough companions that you can go, the Doctor's off on this particular thing, and then, oh, look, the companion's doing this. Mm. Actually, Doctor Who does have a lot of A and B plots, because you could definitely count the companion going off and doing something different.
Usually it's connected, though.
Like, it is connected, but, like, A and B plots can be connected. They can also be completely separate, I feel. I don't see any issue.
I think Old Who probably has them more, because the companions are more often doing their own thing compared to what the Doctor's doing.
And also they've got more episodes to check out, rather than having to squeeze two plots into 40 minutes and having it work.
Apparently Sylvester McCoy started out as a stuntman.
Way to bring it back.
Physical comedy.
Physical comedy.
He wasn't a stuntman originally. He was playing the role of a stuntman.
Playing the role of a stuntman. Yeah. But doing things like stuffing ferrets down his trousers, setting his head on fire, and putting things up his nose.
Oh, that's slapstick comedy.
Very carny comedy. Yes.
That was for a theatre troupe that would wander around.
Yeah, so he wasn't really a serious dramatic actor. And in fact, he's done more drama since Doctor Who than he'd done before. So, in a sense, it was fairly early in his acting career. And, of course, he's probably most well known as Radagast the Brown in the Hobbit movies.
Yes,
Doctor I'm just going to channel my inner Lisa for a moment where she goes, oh! And then she'll name a whole heap of other actors that I don't know the names of. There you go, Lisa. There's your shout out. enjoy your holiday.
Yeah.
no other actor names except...
Right, okay, cool.
Mm. Oh, he did act with Ian McKellen in a stage play where he played the fool to McKellen's King Lear. So
he also was in the 1979 film Dracula opposite Laurence Olivier and Donald Pleasance. a small role.
Yep.
And sung in Welsh opera.
Okay. What was Ace's actor's name?
Sophie Aldred.
So what's Sophie Aldred then?
She's done a lot Sophie of Aldred children's then. TV.
Oh, yeah, stuff. Like what?
Couldn't name anything.
Why? Don't you do research before these two? I
wasn't familiar with any of the shows she's been in, so... A lot of Big Finish. She's done a lot of Big Finish work on Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's not a children's show, though. No. She was in Noddy. What do you mean you don't know what Noddy is?
I do know what Noddy
is. Get out of here, Jeanette. Get out.
I even had a Noddy toy when I was a kid.
You said you didn't know what Noddy.
I didn't see Noddy.
Noddy is big.
No, Noddy is small. Noddy. Like, canonically.
Noddy is so well known. No, Noddy is a cult classic. What do you mean you didn't know all the children?
Noddy is a capitalist, a total capitalist. Noddy does everything for money. Noddy does nothing for community or, you know, nothing's voluntary.
Bob the Builder.
Seriously? Peter Rabbit.
Naughty in Toyland. But that's Naughty in Toyland's a movie, I think.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bob the Builder, as you said.
Voice of Muck.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's major. Jeanette, get out of here. Get out of here.
And she's also written a Doctor Who novel at Childhood's End.
Oh, heck yeah. Magic Key, she was in Lost in Space.
No, that was Lost in Space. Oh. I don't know what that is.
Oh, she was in EastEnders.
Yeah.
But her first acting role, according to this, was Doctor Who.
Yeah. This being IMDb.
She was very good. She really was refreshing as a companion in Doctor Who.
She was so good she went into children's TV.
Answering the question Justin hasn't asked of, have you seen this before? I have seen Ghostlight once, but I've watched very little of McCoy's stuff. By the time McCoy took over back in the...
Can I pause you for one second? Yes. You mean the question Justin did ask?
Mm. Have you seen this before?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, you said that he hadn't asked, but I'm pretty sure you did ask at the start.
Yeah,
just so have you seen this before, Jeanette?
Yeah, he asked it very early on.
10 years ago. And everyone else,
Yeah, okay. So
he never got round to asking everybody else because sidetracked the conversation. Yeah.
This is why Jeanette doesn't normally talk much about
that past. You let her go and that's it.
Yeah.
You're lost.
Yeah.
So Sylvester McCoy didn't watch many episodes?
No. So I sort of ditched out of watching Doctor Who. And then Justin and I were in England, down in Cardiff, in the YHA, and saw an episode with Sylvester McCoy and thought, oh, actually, this is quite good. And Ace, and I liked Ace as a companion. And there'd been a run of not very good companions before Ace. Oh, so it was a very refreshing change.
Recently, I successfully watched through all of 5th and 6th Doctors, who were Doctors that I didn't particularly connect with, and their companions weren't particularly great. And I didn't dislike it as much as I was expecting to. There were a couple of episodes that were really, really bad. With 5th Doctor, that would have been episodes like Black Orchid, was really bad. And I really didn't like Black Orchid. And the first episode with the 5th Doctor was so awful that I struggled to even start watching all the others. Once I got through that, it may have just lowered my, you know, tolerance level for all the others. So I was more comfortable with all the others. Yeah, it was really bad. That was partially because of the script, partially because of the way the actors worked within that script, or the way the companion characters were written. I don't know. I really heavily cringed throughout it. And then the Sixth Doctor only had kind of technically one companion, but there was a little bit of another companion for one story at the end, who was Bonnie, who's been in
Colin Baker.
Bonnie's in the Shudigatwa episodes with Una. Yeah. She was a much better companion. However, for some reason, she had this health nut personality thing going on that was only present in that one episode, and it immediately made you dislike the character somewhat. It was like the character was sabotaged from the word go.
By the writers, yeah.
Yes. Then throughout the 7th Doctor episodes, her exercise nut stuff
Dissipated
so severely. Where I think the first episode with Sylvester McCoy, they're at this fancy hotel thing and she just really wants to go to the swimming pool. And that's why she's here. She's like, oh yeah, it'll be a lovely resort. They've got a swimming pool. Wouldn't mind going for a couple of laps. But that's about it. And that's just kind of an offhand comment. Whereas the previous episode, she's there with the doctor going, come on, another 30 minutes on the exercise wheel.
We've got to talk about the doctor transformation where Sylvester McCoy laid face down with a blonde wig.
It was more than that. He was wandering around the set beforehand. So the regeneration from Colin Baker to Sylvester McCoy, they just didn't renew Colin Baker's contract.
He used to come back for the regeneration scene.
Because they really treated him badly.
They treated him horrifically.
Yes.
But he was not offered a contract at all.
No.
Which would presumably include he wasn't offered a contract to come back to regenerate.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
So they just put Sylvester McCoy in the 6th Doctor's outfit, put a blonde wig on his head, and he faced away from the camera for all of about 10 seconds before the TARDIS blew up. And he regenerated behind the TARDIS console.
With special effects over his face to hide the fact that it wasn't him. Wasn't him.
That was how they regenerated from Colin Baker to Sylvester McCoy. The Doctor hit his head on the console as the TARDIS was shot down and crashed.
As you do.
Yeah. To be fair, Bonnie, the companion, was also unconscious and then kidnapped before the Doctor regained consciousness, and that was I guess, part of the plot of the episode. So it made sense in the episode and stuff, but...
So have you seen all the Seventh Doctor, or...?
I have not seen all of the Seventh Doctor, no. Mm. I got partway through it, and I hit a very cringy episode, and I really struggled to get through it.
Was this with Bonnie or with Ace?
It was a Bonnie episode. Okay. Bonnie wasn't bad in it, but the episode itself was awfully written. It was horrendous.
Do you know what episode that was?
Not off the top of my head, but I could easily find it.
If anyone was wondering, I have seen The Seventh Doctor.
Yeah. Did you watch all of it, or...?
No. Admittedly, I didn't, but what I did watch was... Angus was showing me just small clips from what he was watching.
Hmm.
Not that he's like, hey, watch this... and then won't let me watch anything. I got to be in a mood to watch something new. Like, with B5, we're going through it very slowly. Yeah,
and also, I thought...
We've been pushing through at the tail end of season 3 now.
Yeah, so. It genuinely is good. Hmm. Angus gets mad at me because I don't react the way I should.
But no, this, I think it was the episode I'm talking about that I showed you clips of regarding Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was so angry at it because it was so bad. I'm like, check out this shit.
No. You showed me something bad, but then you also showed me like this really funny...
It was a blooper. So,
It wasn't even from the episode.
It was a blooper from the Survival episode. So in Survival, if memory serves, and it probably doesn't, Earth is being invaded by people from the Cheetah universe who are kidnapping people to eat or to turn into cheetahs, I can't remember.
Cat people.
Yes, and the Master has become a cat person hybrid and is working God. With the cheetah people. But the Doctor and about 10 other people get ambushed by cheetahs in a...
Oh, there's Survival, yes.
Yeah.
That's the final episode.
It is the final episode, show. Yes.
Yeah.
They've been ambushed in a canyon.
It sounds like they just threw it out the door. Yeah. You know, oh, it's the end.
Yeah, but what was the thing that happened?
And yes, so they've been ambushed. And the Doctor's like, don't move. If you move, the cheetah will give chase. You can't predict what will happen. And... everyone ignores him and runs about moving, either to throw rocks at the cheetahs or to try and fight them in some way. But the blooper is of Sylvester McCoy yelling, don't move! Don't move! You don't know what will happen if you move! And he just kind of continues going and everyone starts running around and he goes, no! And takes off his jacket and stuff and goes, I told you not
to
move!
Yeah.
Why'd you move? Why'd you move?
Oh, so that wasn't just actually the
stomping
episode.
On it in and it's so good. It's such a good blooper. I'm so mad they don't have it in the episode, because that would have been people on the internet go like, oh, if it's PG you get one F-bomb sort thing. That should have been the F-bomb in the episode. It should be in there. That's the canon part.
Yeah, I really liked that one bit. And I'm like, oh, is the rest of it like this? And Angus is like, no. What I watched was not even in the episode.
Amazing. So, Cassandra, have you watched any?
No. A decade ago, when it was the 50th anniversary, ABC iView had one or two series from each of the Doctors.
Mm.
I can't even remember which one I had for McCoy. But yeah, I haven't really seen any of this.
Right, so you haven't really watched much of it. No, just maybe one episode.
Yeah.
Did you watch the 8th Doctor's season?
The movie.
you're being mean.
Oh no, it's okay. It's pretty good. It's like as good as season 2 of Firefly.
I'm not going to complain about that one. Just be fired.
Yeah, it's about right.
You know. Yeah. I liked Firefly, though.
So I'd sort of given up on watching Doctor Who by that stage, really, during the transition away from Tom Baker to these. I lost it.
It's fair. The first Fifth Doctor episode is his worst episode.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Is it as bad as trying to kill his companion? Was it that bad? Like, give me a rating here. Yeah, the Sixth Doctor.
Strangling the companion.
Yeah.
And you're going, that's not the Doctor. Something's wrong here.
I mean, that's the viewers, because that companion was shit.
Bad. That companion was bad.
That companion was beep. Atrocious.
Jeanette has to cut this out.
Yeah, but I'm giving her points she can bleep. Now I'm giving her the bleep. Beep.
Thank you. I'm listening to a podcast where we're watching clips of Doctor Who in the chronological order, and they're jokingly referring to the Doctor's orders based upon the chronology of this edit. So because Matt Smith appears in the episode where they go back to the beginning of time, he's the first Doctor according to their view. So the numbers are off for me a little bit.
Matt Smith? Yeah, he's like 900 years old. How is he the first Doctor? What?
It's chronologically based upon where the thing is set, not when it was aired. Because he went to the first planet ever to see a message from Riversong.
Right.
It's like the second that he watched.
He's the first Doctor. He's the first Doctor in the timeline.
Yeah, in their timeline.
I think they're wrong.
They
just went, haven't they reset the universe now a few times? Doesn't that make it all a bit...
Well, the 10th Doctor was also there for the construction of Earth.
Yes, but echoed after this thing.
Hmm.
I don't even
what came first, the note from Riversong or the construction of Earth?
The note from Riversong, because it was on the first planet ever, because he goes, oh, this is the first planet ever, and they go, and it's on the...
Oh, yeah, and Earth probably wasn't constructed at the same... Yeah.
No, that's the first writing, the oldest writing in the universe.
Yes.
Not the first planet.
It was the oldest writing on the first planet.
Oh, the first writing would have been before Earth.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, we could write a PhD.
I think we should write a PhD.
Yeah. I'm wrong.
The official watch order of Doctor Who.
Or the propensity of alien civilizations to develop in the known universe, that kind of thing.
Nerd. Absolute nerd. Who comes up with a title for that on a podcast? What are your references, Justin?
Oh, I'll just compile those now. I'll be a second or two.
Second part, Justin will just read out the entire...
Your dissertation.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, so
Lisa, how much have you watched? That was Lisa phoning in from her holiday. Mackenzie?
I'm trying to do the same thing but higher. No.
I think we will go and watch the episode.
Yeah.
And we'll see you after the episode.
But I haven't even talked about the 50 audiobooks I've listened to yet.
Quickly, stop it.
So
it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is... No, that's how we're going to tell everyone it's raining, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's raining outside.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, while we're watching the haunted ghost episode of...
With lightning outside.
We started getting our own lightning and thunder outside.
Yes. Yeah.
So we watch something?
Yeah.
So just here on the table we have a Doctor Who beach towel. We've got two Doctor Who guidebooks, three guidebooks. Miniatures of Doctor Who all over the place, about three TARDISes on the table.
A salt and pepper shaker that's TARDISes.
That's a USB hub. Doctor Who TARDIS.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I don't know if that is the one.
No, I don't think that one's the USB. We have multiple TARDISes.
Yeah.
And I'm a TARDI.
One of
them. I'm sure I can look up what the plural of is. It's like Latin grammar is really weak, awkward.
Do you know what?
Do you not care?
It's Gallifreyan, not Latin, so, you know.
And we've also got the Magic the Gathering cards of Doctor Who.
Only one of the four decks, though. I've got the other three in my room.
And they're all Doctor Who decks?
Yeah, I've got... there were four Doctor Who decks they did 2-3 years ago.
So basically,
we've got the first 8 Doctors...
Currently, yes, on the table.
So basically we're drowning in Doctor Who memorabilia.
Yeah.
And this is only a small sample of what's in there.
Yeah, because I thought we'd be drowning even more.
Yes.
So, Jeanette, you've got copious notes. Tell us all about the episode. What happened?
The first thing that struck me with this is that dreadful opening music. What they do. I love the Doctor Who music.
Yeah.
And what they do to it is an abomination.
I loved it. Are you kidding? Yeah. I knew you'd hate it. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
It's very 80s.
Yes.
It's very 80s.
The invention of the electronic.
Taken to an extreme.
I don't know about anybody else in the entire world. Maybe Lisa did it. I don't know. But at my school, we offered It was like the start of 3D modelling and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. So we would sit in class and not do anything. But they showed us that opening. Mm-hmm. I know that I've seen those assets before. Mm. And so it was really cool to see. And it had like a whole Back to the Future kind of theme. Mm-hmm. I love the opening. It was great. It was so kitsch. I wish Lisa kitsch. Was here. It Lisa would have loved it too.
Mm. Yeah.
Rest in peace, actually. Lisa.
I don't mind it. Okay, Jeanette, keep going, please.
So, okay. Just to quote sort of what this book says is that the script is clever, densely packed with gags and references, and is brought to life by an astonishing cast. And this is from the Who's Next Unofficial and Unauthorized Guide to Doctor Who by Mark Clapham, Eddie Robson and Jim Smith. And I think that really sums this episode up. It wasn't helped watching it. Yeah. The sound quality is terrible.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I would recommend anyone watching it to have subtitles on because it's very difficult.
It's hard to work out what's happening because the characters are actually zombies, you sort of find out. They're pretty much zombies.
What?
They're like hypnotized. They're
hypnotized. Personality-less.
And so some of them are just in cupboards and things like this. Mm. And it's almost impossible to work out what the hell's going on at the beginning because none of the characters have any
established
personality or reason or for what they're doing. They're just wandering around doing random things, it seems.
Yeah.
And that's what they are doing.
Yes.
So when you're trying to work out what is going on, nothing's going on.
Understand what's being said.
You can't understand half the words that are being said.
I think the moment the clock ticks over to 6 o'clock and chimes and everyone exits from these storage compartments in the wall, I think that successfully established that these individuals are operating to some unnatural rhythm sort of thing. Either external control or just something else. I initially assumed they would have been like robots or something like that. The way they're operating.
I fell asleep partway through, but I am exhausted at the moment, so I apologize. But the immediate thought process I got was that it was something like Dracula. That's what I guess.
Or like vampiric thralls.
Vampiric thralls. That's immediately what I was getting.
Like there was a secondary will.
Yeah, yeah. Commanding. There was something else commanding everything else.
I think that was well established. And
They were drawing heavily on Hammer horror tropes.
Yes.
And it's got a very Hammer horror vibe.
Yes, it does.
Rather. Very strong.
But the Doctor himself, I don't know if I'm correct in this, but maybe it's just what Jeanette was saying earlier. I feel like he would be the Rowan Atkinson of Doctors. His facial expressions.
Rowan Atkinson has played the Doctor.
Yeah, but like his facial expressions, the way he moved, the way he acted was very reminiscent of Rowan Atkinson. Everyone else felt more like, especially Third Doctor, who I love.
Third Doctor's very James Bond.
Hands down, very James Bond. But the Seventh Doctor was 100% feeling a lot more lively, a lot more animated in comparison. Mm. He felt more akin to, I think, Matt Smith in the movements, David Tennant in the facial expressions, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He was very, animated, I think, at least.
I particularly love his speeches because he enunciates so weirdly and differently everything he says.
Yeah, it's like the meme of to be or not to be, and then which part of that do you enunciate? Do you is it to be or not to be, or is it to be or not to be?
The thing is, he announces multiple words in the sentence. Yeah. That's the thing. He breaks it down and then enunciates it all very differently.
Mm.
And every time he is given a word with the letter R, he basically rolls the R.
Yeah,
I genuinely found him quite entertaining for what I had seen.
Yeah.
He was quite entertaining. He really tried to not be the smartest man in the room, but the man with the most control. And he was clearly doing like sleight of hand and persuasion checks the entire time to bring it back to like D&D to get other people out of the room so that he could go, tell me what you know. I'm this guy that you came to see. Tell me what you know.
It's very manipulative.
It was really cool.
I don't
cool.
know if you were conscious at the time, but during the episode he reveals why he piloted the TARDIS to this house, and that is, Sophie Aldred said, I've been in a haunted house once before and I'll never go to another one again.
Oh, Ace,
Ace, sorry. Yeah. Yes, Ace said that, and it was a bit ham-acted, and it felt like a little bit of a forced dialogue. But as it turns out, the Doctor did not only remember saying that, because he's like, oh, did he say that? I don't remember. But this is the haunted house.
Yes.
He heard what Ace said and went, we're going to have to check that out, and brought her here. And so partway through the episode, she finds out this is the haunted house, and that the Doctor basically lied and tricked her into being here. And he goes, and? Don't you want to know what happened here?
That is so what we've seen the Doctor to do in the past, like maybe the present, I don't know.
Yeah.
But him going, oh yeah, I've heard you say that, or I've been looking into this, or you're my companion because X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's usually not so much something pulled from like a character backstory, something they've said. It's usually character front story. For example, with Amy, her companion arc was basically that her life didn't make sense, and so instead of looking back at her life, he just kept going forward until he was able to piece puzzle pieces together. He didn't outright investigate. He just kind of kept an eye on it as they continued forward.
I think this is the first time though, that the companion's central to the story. In the past, the companion was just there to help the Doctor or the screen lots.
Yes.
But this is the first time that there's a focus on the companion and her story.
Yes.
Which, of course, becomes a major thing in New Who.
Yeah.
But this is Old Who never featured the companion in that way.
I think what I liked about Ace as well is, you're right, they're very LGBT, plus coded. I feel like Ace would be they-them. Non-binary.
Yeah.
Like, they presented very heavily
in the episode, she is wearing, a relatively modern attire.
Like, very 80s, feminine attire
And then she swaps, into wearing the Victorian-era suit.
It was very non-binary. Being able to just switch between genders. And, that was really nice to see, actually.
I like Ace a lot.
It did make me laugh.
And also, I like the fact that, comparison to the screaming companions of the previous era, she's taking charge and like, oh, yes, I'm holding the gun to your face, even though it's the actual guy at counter, and and being strong-willed. And
diving for the gun that's pointed at the Doctor at one point, to disarm.
Yeah, and basically wait at the cliffhanger at the end of the first episode. Every other companion so far would have screamed her head off. She's basically just like, standing her ground and be like,
she's not a scream queen.
And
the moment she gets an opportunity, she grabs us basically a stick, a cane, and starts whacking the aliens with it.
I don't know much about Ace, but there's something that I absolutely love about Ace in the Magic the Gathering universe is that there's the Ace's baseball bat
as a particular weapon,
as an item that you can equip. And I found this card. Angus had two of them. He put one in his deck and I put one in my deck. And he put me up against Daleks. And I'm like, that's okay. I've got Ace's baseball bat. I don't know who Ace is, but I love the iconic, a punk wielding a baseball bat. I love that like iconic look.
She also wanders around with bombs. She's got dynamite.
Is she Irish?
No. She's just a punk. There's one episode where the Doctor literally says, hey, you know that Nitro 9 I told you not to bring? Pass it over.
But
you definitely don't have in your backpack. I need it.
I like that. I like how strong she is.
It definitely feels as though they're setting up. Is that the Doctor was training her for something?
Yeah.
It's like the first minute they see on screen, it's like, so what do you think, Ace? And letting them check the card.
No offense to Sarah Jane, but I actually feel like Ace was 10 times stronger than any other female character we've seen. I haven't seen Leela.
Leela and Romana too were both. Romana too was very smart. And Leela was.
We saw Romana in City of Death. Watch that together.
I seen either of them with Tom Baker?
So Leela's only Tom Baker, but you haven't seen any Leela episodes. Sarah Jane Smith was with Tom Baker.
Was Leela the Time Lord?
No, that's Romana. Romana was the one that sat down at the table, picked up a puzzle box, and the woman's like, you won't be able to solve that. It's very complicated. And Romana just went, click, 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 click. Oh, well, look at that, it's open.
I disliked Romana quite a lot. I really didn't like her.
Okay.
I liked the other guy, though.
Duggan.
Duggan. Duggan, absolute champion.
Yes.
Duggan, what a lad. I want more Duggan in my life. I want the doctor to go back and pick him up. I love Duggan. I want to marry him. That man is amazing.
What's interesting is his character was relatively, like, it was a throwaway character. In the story, he was great. That character easily could have become a rolling companion for the
actor.
Yeah. But the actor appears again in, I think it's 5th or 6th Doctor.
And different character.
A complete unremarkable character.
Mm.
No one special whatsoever. Mm. He's basically playing a sci-fi police thug. And you just see him and you go, yeah, okay. That's nothing worthy of note there. I think it's a 6th Doctor story. And it's just like completely...
Okay. He literally smashes like a window, opens up the inside of a door, and Romana's like, don't you ever do things normally? And he's like, sorry, nah, stop it. And then just sits down and he's like, yeah, what's going on? He's a very cool character, very cool cat. But I like those kind of rebel, like, not follow the flow kind of people. Mm. They're always the most interesting.
I think you'd like Leela.
Yes, you definitely like Leela.
Yeah. In Leela's first episode, she poisons someone with a lethal paralytic poison to block a exit so people can't follow them.
Oh, through this I remember you telling me about Leela. He
poisons them and the doctor goes, no more of that. Stop doing that. Stop killing people. And she goes, okay, I won't use the poison anymore. The doctor kind of then goes, right, follow me. And then she realizes the person she paralyzed had a crossbow. So she just picks up the crossbow and follows the doctor with that instead.
Yes, Leela was lots of fun.
Yeah. Yes, Ace is great.
Yes, Ace
and
is great.
It did amuse me greatly when they were like, put on something sensible for the Victorian age, and she wanders off, changes out of her 80s clothing, and then comes
into
back.
Into a tux.
Yeah, into a tuxedo.
I fell asleep before I saw her in the dress. Did she actually get into the dress?
Yeah.
She
looked mildly uncomfortable. Just,
Yeah.
That doesn't suit her. It's just wrong for her.
Yeah.
Wrong for her character.
Yeah.
But she basically, she falls asleep. The day comes to a close and the next day she's wearing.
Yeah.
So she's definitely like non-binary that. Jumps between the two fashion styles.
Mm-hmm. And she was to what she likes and feels comfortable in.
Well, to be fair, the first outfit we saw her in, it was a relatively feminine top. I think she was wearing pants with just the feminine top. Which
she usually has that jacket, like the bomber black jacket.
Yes,
she
was carrying that. She was carrying that, but not.
Yeah, it's funny because Baylor had one that was similar.
The battle jacket, yeah.
I'd see it on the back of the chair, and I'd mean, Ace is here. I just think of Ace.
I like battle jackets, and I like that she was carrying it with her, even though it didn't match the outfit, because when I feel uncomfortable or if I'm going to go do an uncomfortable thing, I will generally put my battle jacket on as like a, I'm raging against the machine. I'm doing something that I don't feel comfortable with. This is war, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's like a safety blanket. And she was carrying it around like a safety blanket, which I liked a lot.
Anyway, this random comment, the fact that I've been doing Lord of the for a long while and I picked the name somewhat arbitrarily Ace of Pace. So I'm frequently called by W folks Ace. So part of my brain is going, they're not talking about you, shut up. But yeah.
That's a great name for Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Ace would definitely be into roller derby.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to take the baseball bat off of her before she gets into the rink.
Oh yeah.
But,
That's a different movie.
Yeah.
So in Five-ish Doctor's reboot, when they're saying, why are we doing this? And the other doctors all say, full of fans.
Yeah.
And Sylvester McCoy says, for the fan.
Yeah.
So does he now have more than one fan?
Yeah. The 7th Doctor, Sylvester McCoy?
Yes.
Oh, was he the least liked doctor out of everybody?
No. I think he's just the funniest.
Yeah, I was hoping that the least liked would have been
Colin Baker.
Colin Baker, yeah.
Celery Stick Man.
Oh, you'd... What about the strangler?
TARDIS
strangler.
TARDIS strangler.
Celery salad. Yeah.
Celery salad. TARDIS strangler.
The 5th Doctor, I think he actually uses the cellar in the final episode because he's going into a toxic environment, so he's basically measuring how toxic it is
by using the celery stick. That's great. Yeah, I think Lisa would have really liked this, for the record. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely, from what I saw.
I'll sit her down in front of it with matchsticks holding her eyes open.
Oh, yeah, like that scene and, from Clockwork Orange.
And tied down Clockwork Orange.
I don't know if Kenzie would have enjoyed it as much, but I think, with the kitschness and the animation of the Seventh Doctor, I think Lisa actually would have really enjoyed this one.
It's a lot of energy.
It's a lot of energy. And there's no random cricket match partway through.
Oh, yes. Black Orchid was a bad episode.
One or two-parter?
Two-parter.
And the first part was entirely cricket.
It moved a bit faster as well. Mm-hmm. I did notice. Yes. And I this appreciate episode. It. Like I said, I fell asleep for a lot of it, but it seemed to be well paced. It seemed to have a good story, a good showcase of the Doctor as well. Yeah. It was a good choice. Whoever picked it was it Jeanette?
Yes.
Well done. Why can't you pick a good episode of Babylon 5? Because it's terrible.
It is not.
So, what kind of food, Angus?
Oh, gods. So, for me, you guys complained about audio quality. I thought it was fine. I'm just comfortable with this. Like, this is a comfort food for me. I am probably going to go into the other room and finish watching the rest of the serial.
So, Stolen?
Oh, I mean,
that's
right now...
That's too English for Stolen.
Yes, that's also true.
I'm a hot. Something very English.
This is the thing. It doesn't need to be an English food.
No, it doesn't.
It just needs to... It's a rating on what your heart feels. Shirtfuller, there you go.
Baked beans and scrambled eggs on toast. Like, just... it's great. Not everyone likes it, sure.
So, Ace had an English breakfast, so it must be an English breakfast.
She had scrambled eggs.
Basically,
on English. Hot buttered toast. Mm-hmm. It sounded fantastic. Yeah,
with kidney sausages.
Mm. And liver. Kidney and liver sausages.
Oh, I was smiling.
Not so sure about
that
bit.
Because Sophie Aldred is a vegan.
Wonder she skipped breakfast.
So next year is the Eighth Doctor, correct?
Yes.
And I'm going to bring a special as well.
Okay.
Was it the Curse of Fatal Death?
Yes.
Yes.
I love Curse of Fatal Death.
Intermediate Doctors.
Yes. Seeing that, I got no idea what you're talking about. Look from.
Are we going to then watch the Shulker Doctor?
Are we going to watch the movie?
No.
Because Shulker Doctor was BBC. That was a BBC production.
I've never seen it.
No, that's fair.
Yes, we're going to watch the movie.
There was an alternate.
You will hear my teeth grinding through it.
Yes,
it's mostly chase scene.
Don't like it.
Oh, Curse of Fatal Death.
The Ninth Doctor.
Movie. Oh, right.
Have you seen Curse of Fatal Death?
I have seen Curse of Fatal Death. I have not seen the movie.
We bought the VHS video of Curse of Fatal Death.
Have seen the movie. Mm-hmm. I'll talk more about it at the time. That was probably the earliest Doctor that I'd actually seen at the time. And I genuinely liked it.
We'll get to see it at the time.
Difference of opinion, which is wonderful.
Yes. It's going to be like Babylon 5 and Star Trek.
Guess we'll wrap up there, and we'll see you next month.
Yeah. And for Lisa, Star Wars.
Yes, drink. Yes.
Wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
No.
I do like Sylvester McCoy, I'm just going to add, because, he's very manipulative of just about everyone, and in the audiobooks...
Oh, that's a good quality, is it? Yeah.
Well, no, it's just, it makes him a really interesting good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he pisses off Ace in the audiobooks quite a bit, and Ace regularly gets angry with him for manipulating her in environments and stuff. But I really like his audio, his Big Finish audiobooks. I think Seventh Doctor is my favourite. I really like the Eighth Doctor's audio adventures. I really think they're great, but I don't know, Seventh Doctor and Ace, for me, just, it's such a great pairing, and their audio adventures together are really
good. It is a great pairing. The actors were good friends, and there's a really good rapport between them.
Yeah.
I think they bounce off
each
other.
Those audio books are Big Finish.
They're Big Finish, but...
They do cost to listen to, but if you get your hands on them, they're very good.
They do occasionally have a couple free on their Spotify.
Okay, we'll see you next month.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until next month.
Bye.